Blog Talk Radio.
Blessings and greetings, greetings and blessed souls. We're live because we are meriting to stay alive in this most mundane of humane and yet paradoxically existential of eternal moments. You're now tuned into Blog Talk Radio, and we humbly assert we're the higher inner frequency. We call ourselves Soul Class. This is Soul Class 683, the living shall take it to heart. Blessed is our creator. Shalom, peace, and bracha, blessing. Blessings upon the entire human family experience. That's 7 billion plus. Human beings with divine souls and divine images. With Creator's blessings, our next broadcast will take place right now on April 15th. It's now 12:01 in Turtle Island, a.k.a. the USA Actual Unified, a.k.a. equals Unified Soul Actualization, corresponding to 11:02, live from the Diamond of the Caribbean, Jamaica. Program content will be focusing on being in discussion with Steel and Media Communication expert Jerome Sage Butler, reflecting upon the tragic passing of a young man, Joseph Israel, musician, seeker of the Creator, family man, student of Torah, student of life, helpful to all of those he could help. Special attention will be given to focusing on Psalms 41 and Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verses 1 and 2. The call-in number is 347-838-8669. Meanwhile, may the Eternal Creator bless you and your loved ones, peaceful and pleasantly. And as well, at the end of today's program, we're going to share a link to help Joseph's family who are feeling the brunt of the loss because he was the husband and the father of three wonderful children. But before we go further, and I'm a little bit emotionally charged in a very painful way, I have to say I'm now joined live from Kingston, Jamaica, Sela Media Communications Expert Jerome Sage Butler. Good morning, Jerome Sage.
Peace and blessings, Brother Don. In such time of, grief and also reflection, I send condolences out to the family of, Joseph Israel and, for the life, that he's lived and for a recognition of the impact he's had, upon not just myself but others in varying ways. And we are very thankful, for the experience, and for the body of work he left and also just for the experiences, the way he made us feel. And, we are, so thankful that we have the chance to meet him. So blessings and peace be upon his family, upon his widow and his children, and may they continue, on in strength and life.
Amen.
And to find peace and healing. Blessings.
Amen. Thank you, Jerome Sage. I'd like to start off with two brief segments, and then I'd like you to explain to our international audience. We have 38 states listening to us live in America and about 37, 38 countries. I didn't check the country count at the end of the week. I can check it maybe after the program. We're listening to live. We'll hear us eventually on the archive version. I'd like to start with, we have a tradition in Israel. One a person to say, as Joseph was only 40 years old, about 40 and a half, but our tradition is, for instance, I'm 55, so I would say chapter 56 until I merit to my 56th year. Then I go on to chapter 57. And, for instance, Joseph was 40, so I'd like to read chapter 41 in Psalms, and we'll talk about that a little bit later on, the instructions we can glean out of it, because it's our tradition, if you're reading this chapter, it's not just that you merit to live to say the next year's chapter from Psalms, but also the instructions that King David and the other prophets, that there are 10 authors in Psalms. That's a discussion for another day. But without further ado, I want to read these 14 verses, and of course I'll be looking forward to your feedback, and then we're going to read something from Ecclesiastes. For the conductor, a song unto David. Praiseworthy is he who cares wisely for the sick on the day of disaster. God will surely cause him to flee. The Almighty Creator will preserve him and keep him alive. He will be made praiseworthy on earth, and he will not present him to the will of his foes. Creator will fortify him on his bed of misery. All his restfulness has been upset by his illness. As for me, I said, O Creator, show me favor. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against you. My foes speak evil of me. When will he die and his name perish? And if one comes to see, insincerely does he speak. He desires to gather himself malicious information. On going out, he reveals it. United against me, all my enemies whisper. Against me, they devise my harm. The result of his lawlessness is poured over him, and now he lies ill. May he rise no more. Even my ally, in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, develops an ambush against me. But as for you, Creator, show me favor and raise me up, then I shall repay them. By this shall I know that you are pleased with me, that you will not let my foe applaud over me. Because of my integrity you have supported me. Let me stand erect before you forever. Blessed be Creator, the God of Israel, from this world to the world to come. Amen and amen. Now, of course, Jerome Sage Joseph has passed on, but there's a strong message, as we mentioned briefly before the program, there's an aspect of a human being which is eternal, that is the soul, because if the Creator was the all-living, eternal God, and his ultimate wisdom has created our human souls, there is some part of us that is eternal. And this is the message we have to get out to Babylon to defeat the mentalities that worship the flesh of the primacy of the soul. So I'll ask you to comment on that, yes, and anything else you'd like to add to this conversation.
Well, you're so correct, because things are so finite in a most materialistic way in the West that, I mean, death is the ultimate end, you know, to most people who live within the varying configuration of Western society. Death is at its end. And sometimes it leads to a great confusion, a feud, a kind of a squabble or battle for the resources and the material, you know, the material properties and possessions left behind. Sometimes it's a war, and sometimes it is so marring, so confusing, that what happens is that the essence of, you know, going beyond grief, because in Christendom, there's a heavy thought about that you shouldn't really mourn the passing of someone, but rather you should rejoice and celebrate the life. And I think sometimes it's not possible because, you know, the Western societies and the cultures they inhibit and kind of imbue in individuals are so steeped in just the material end. And so there isn't much thought of the soul or the soul's purpose, or how is it possible for you to be, you know, having good thoughts and continually want to go on, you know, with the soul of the dead. You know, because it's like even as I say it, it feels heavy, because death just has this heavy thing in Western, yes, societies. Contrast that with indigenous or some Eastern and, you know, ancient societies, you'll find African and ancient societies, you'll find that there's interconnections between the human life while it's here and whilst it's gone into the other realms. Because one of the things is that one suggests that if you cultivate a kind of a spiritual awareness and connection, which is a value beyond just what is gained because of ambition and to satisfy, you know, a psychological high or design, something that is, you know, wholesome and truly divine and truly of benefit, you know, one would understand that to live that life also involves having something far beyond the physical, even a metaphysical, if you want to go there, experience. Hence, you're acknowledging that you are part of something much greater, and that part of that greater, the eternal, is in you. As your soul, as that spark of divine, you know. And one of the beautiful things about it is that upon the passing of the flesh, one can truly connect to that and keep the connection. If you have lived that way, then death do not really change anything in your perception, except that you celebrate. Yes, you mourn. I mean, because there's a moment where there is a separation and you feel that that physical separation has real ripples and real effects, you know, in your psyche and in your behavior. But then the greater joy is to succeed into the soul. And from the soul pours good experiences. You know, I remember when my close friend, group member, confidant, you know, just everything that a brother and a friend could be, had passed away in 2014, you know. He had such promise. He was just 33 years old. You know, we had such promise, you know, he had a child on the way. And so much life, you know. And it shook me to the core, you know, beyond just the trepidations of feeling that maybe I would be next. Or because, you know, this thing about when death reaches our close loved ones, we always feel that, you know, some part of us dies as well, too. Because how much we are physical to the soul is that we feel like a part of us dies. But what I learned, it was very interesting because I had no record of this before, because maybe 2 years before, I used to say that I'm happy that I've never lost a friend, and then alas, all these things happen. What I learned was that it is so wonderful that when a person has passed, when my friend passed, I realized that even the bad experiences, the experiences that I thought were bad experiences, that made me angry, made me upset, that, you know, we could say that there was definitely some, you know, negative intent on my friend's part towards us, and, you know, in many ways, as you know, but all those moments became treasured moments because we no longer had him anymore to give us good or bad moments. So I realized that I would give anything to have him say, you know, a foul word at me, you know, because it's just as valuable as him saying beautiful words at me, you know, our uplifting or encouraging words at me. So I realized that, you know, I'm having a soul experience of my friend in that he always had this idea that life was more than just in the present. And I think when we look at the psalmist's intentions, and it suggests that if a man works, as I was saying, the life you live, if it's imbued enough in the soul and the spirit, if by the life you live, you can give honor unto the divine, you know, offer help unto the sick, the needy, those that need that care, that compassion, that empathy, if you can offer that, you know, in whatever measure you can, upon your transitioning from this world, there is a sweet fragrance left in the minds and the thoughts and the attitudes of others, you know, something they retain that is very much alive, you know. And that's what I think I learned with the passing of my friend, and I think it's something that I take with me now into my continued experience.
Thank you, John. I like that razor sharp, those points. I like to turn now to Ecclesiastes, a portion of chapter 7, verse 1, and then I'll look forward to your feedback, and then we'll go to chapter 7, verse 2, where King Solomon wrote, "A good name is better than good oil." What is this about? "A good name is better for a person than good oil, because on the day of death, the name is better than on the day of his birth. For this reason, a good name is compared to good oil more than any other liquids. For oil, if you put water into it, the oil rises to the top and is recognizable. But other liquids, if you put water into them, the other liquids will absorb the water." Now, water is likened to wisdom. Oil is likened to good deeds. We have a saying in Israel, if a person's wisdom is greater than one's good deeds, it's like a tree that is tall but has very shallow roots, a wind can knock it over. But a person whose good deeds are greater than the wisdom, it's a tree with firm roots, firmly anchored in the ground. No hurricane, storm can bring it down. And that's one of the things I want to mention in the blessing of the ascended soul of Joseph Israel, is that he had a lot of wisdom, but his good actions were like this good oil, which has a quality. Even if it was mixed together with wisdom, Joseph would always look to see, what could I do with this wisdom to bring out more action? And one more thing, in Psalms 133, verse 2, as the good oil on the head runs down upon the beard, a good name, however, goes up. It says in Genesis 12, verse 2, I will make your name great. Good oil is temporary, but a good name is eternal. May his name be, as it says in chapter 72, verse 17 in Psalms, may his name be forever. Good oil flows from the flask to the palace and no more, but a good name goes to the end of the world. And here we are talking about this blessed man who left us too early. In my humble opinion, of course, God's wisdom is greater than ours. The good name of Joseph Israel now is spreading around the world through our humble efforts today, Jerome Sage. Your comments on these matters.
Thank you, Brother Dan. Yes, you know, I love that passage. It has a great, you know, emotional resonance with me. When I feel it, I can say, yes, there's, you know, not just wisdom, but some true value. Hallelujah. Some true life. You know, the good name likened unto the good oil, likened unto good deeds, you know, likened unto the use of wisdom. I completely love the alignment. And I think in my limited experience of Joseph Israel, I can say that I've found many of those qualities. And I will explain thus. You know, as a poet at the time, it wasn't like we were getting the attention of, you know, producers or such who wanted to record us, because poetry in Jamaica, especially the kind of poetry we do, which I do.
Could you take us back? What year are we talking about? Bring us back in a, just give us back a historical timeline when you first met him, and now re-inject what you just started to say, please.
I think officially, I think it was in 2005.
Okay.
I met him. I met him by Earl Trina Smith. And like I said, back in those times, for me as a poet, I was, you know, coming along with a group called Jah Children, you know, poets and singers and drummers, and then we later became LSX poets. And so we wanted to record, you know, to take our art on another level. And I was also a solo artist as well, too. You know, I did my own stuff as well.
Mm-hmm.
But it was very difficult. No one wanted to record us because poetry didn't have that place of our material viability. And then it got pushed to what is called like the colloquial forms, like maybe folk form, kind of a way to understand it in the Western context, right? As you know, it's a marginalized art form, though filled with knowledge and information. Joseph Israel was the first person to record me and record me at the highest level. And I can say this too, I've yet to be recorded at that highest level. Now in this world, I've learned to speak the truth and speak it well. I have no reason to say otherwise because it is the actual fact. It is the highest level of recording that I've done, right? It was done at Tuff Gong International, that's Bob Marley's studio. It was my first time going into Tuff Gong. As a child, I only heard about Tuff Gong. And let's be honest, in the context of what the parable I showed you, I wasn't going to get such an opportunity by the very deeds I was doing in Jamaica. You know, no one wanted to... wasn't going to take a poet into Tuff Gong to record. You know, it wasn't something that was going to happen. But Joseph meeting me at Trina Smith, Earl Trina Smith in the yard, and seeing that I had a vibe, I had a spirit, and I had something to say, you know, took me into the studios and, you know, allowed me, you know, to be on that recording, you know, back when he was in Little Rock, Arkansas, right? And, you know, and that recording... I was surprised to know that it did so well, too, because, yeah, you know, who's that lion walking Zion, rebel defiant, iron sharpened iron, crowning, conquering lion, you know, and it was just one of those things, you know, that, like I said, it stuck with me because yet I've not yet been able to go beyond that in terms of a quality recording, even as a singer. And the essence is that, you know, a man must be remembered in the case when he's passed on for, you know, the work and the deeds that he's done, genuine to the person. I'm no judge. And as such, I can't pronounce any, you know, valor beyond, you know, what is observant in my life. And in the context where I know, I can say, yeah, he's espoused good deeds, absolutely.
Yes.
One that will resonate with me for, you know, ever. Because it has already been done, and it cannot be undone.
That's
just
right.
Are the good deeds of man. Thus, yeah, when the soul is touched and connected, it cannot be undone. So that will forever live on in my mind. You know, I've never been on a tour with him. I've never taken a stage with him. Let's put things in context. But the issue is, what he has done remains alive in me as a part of my experience, my life, and that can never be undone. So I give thanks.
Amen. I'm just going to inject this because I've heard this. I think it's worth the share. There was a very rich individual who was in the service of the Queen of England about 200 years ago, and the Queen of England wanted an account of all of his assets. So he said, okay, Queen, I will come back in 3 days, and I'll give you my account. And he came back in 3 days, and he gave her the report of what his assets were. He said, I don't believe you. I think you made a mistake. You're undercutting your total assets. He said, come back in another 3 days. And he came back in another 3 days, and again, he gave a number which he felt was, he was kind of like, as we say, shredding some of the evidence that he had more assets. He's like, I don't understand. You have you have this and this and this and this and that. And he said, Queen, let me explain to you. What I explain to you is my assets are all the money that I use for charity and good deeds. As far as what you would call my material possessions, tomorrow morning you can, you on behalf of the English government, can take all of my possessions. The only thing I possess is the money that I invested into charity and good deeds. That's all, and everything else is on loan to us, Jerome Sagan. Blessed souls listening out there, if we can get out it out of that mindset, I have this, I have that. No, what you've accomplished to help another human being. If you've lived about 30 plus years, you've experienced somewhere around a billion heartbeats. Why can't we promote these ideas? And this is what Joseph Israel promoted, Jerome Sage. If you live every cycle of 30 years, if we go around 70 heartbeats a minute, you've lived a million heartbeats. You are a billionaire. I'd like you to comment on that, Jerome Sage.
I love that. I love that. Wealth in life and experience. I love that.
I'd like to turn to Ecclesiastes, Jerome Sage, one more time. And this was something that my Rebbe, my mentor, direct descendant of King David Solomon Lubavitch Rebbe, talked a lot after he lost his rabbits and his wife for 59 years. The other half, and he was, I remember hearing him crying when he would make prayer services in memorial to her. And it was based on what King Solomon taught, who was his ancestor, that the living shall take it to place it upon their heart. Meaning, if we know someone that passed on, we think of his or her good attributes, and we bring them into ourselves. We internalize those attributes, and we spread them into the world. So that attribute, which was something which came out of their soul powers, is living, because we, as those who are still living upon the face of this earth, are recalling. Because that person can no longer do those good things. So we are, so to speak, inheriting those good deeds, those good thoughts, those good wisdoms that he or she emanated in this world in her proverbial 120 years. And also for us, for those who are living, and the living shall lay it to his or her heart after the passing of a loved one. So now is the time for us to do good, because when we go up to our next level of life, we no longer have the opportunity to engage in these acts of kindness and bestowal of wisdom and sharing what we've learned from our wonderful life experiences. Jerome Sage? Hello? Jerome Sage?
Yes,
yeah,
hello?
I'm sorry, I for some reason, when I made my comment, I mistakenly put you on hold, but you're back on. I don't know if you heard what I said. Did you hear
I just heard the beginning, and I caught the end portions of what you said.
Okay, I apologize. So let me just say that again about the living shall take to heart. I mentioned something about the Lubavitch Rebbe, who was director of King David Solomon.
Solomon.
You got that. So again, and the living v'chayit n'alibo, and the living shall place upon his heart or her heart, is that we have to do our good acts now, because when we go to the next level. We have a saying as well, when someone departs from this world, they actually have a joy because they're graded by their ancestors and for the righteous who have gone before us. But where the pain is for us, and, you know, as we say, as it says in a verse in Job, we are dwellers of clay, meaning since original man and woman came from the earth, we are no more than just the extension of the original human beings who were extracted out of the earth by the wisdom of the Most High, and then the spirit of life was blown into us. So your comments on this whole idea that we can keep someone like Joseph Israel, whose good name is like is better than good oil being spread around the earth, to from what our experiences were, to share his good attributes around the world right now in tribute to this blessed human being who, again, is living through his spirit is living through his wife and his three children. And I know they're very pained. I had a talk with his wife recently. She was the one that actually broke the news to me. But, Jerome Sage, your take on this, on how the living can place it upon their hearts, to take from the spirit of a loved one they've lost or a good friend and keep that spirit of that loved one in this world.
Well, you know, like I mentioned about Joseph and the experience I had with him, giving me that opportunity, you know, to be recorded and to see a future, you know, an encouragement along the path when within my own culture and, you know, societal environment, I wasn't getting that opportunity. So that is one way that part of his soul will forever live on in me because, as I said before, it cannot be undone. And in extension, as I go to my friend Clayton Dubmaster Lynch, who passed on in 2014, aspects of his soul that I have treasured so much is because I was a person who had been not as experienced in terms of the personal responsibility of one's personal family, i.e. one's child and one's child's mother, you know. So I had a problem a lot, you know, with just, you know, focusing. And he was younger, but yet very attentive and focused on family. And was always, though he wasn't there in the living space, because in Jamaica the configuration of fathers and mothers and their children is diverse, and I'm sure the world over it is. So
sure. The
essence of it was all his kids weren't in the same place, but he was a father to all. And father not just in terms of some people say they send it the child support or the maintenance. He did that. But he also visited, he took them out, he took them places, he took us, his friends, to meet his children. So here's what I'm trying to say from that. I didn't have such an experience for myself. I was wayward. I just never had that experience. But yet still, my friend took me to meet his children, took his children to meet me, took his children and his children's mother to meet me and to meet our friends and insist that we had experiences. You understand me? And I can tell you, years on, that has been like a wellspring, hallelujah, of inspiration to me to see his responsibility. And I've always been impressed by it, but impressions are not words that I hold for my own psychological pondering. I mean, it made an impression in me that it's lasting now that I realize that I'm not him, but he's taught me something by his attitudes, and that is just his devotion, you know, due regard for our family. And I didn't paint a picture of a rosy person. Neither did I paint a picture of someone who was married and had, you know, children with only one woman. But this is our culture. There's no judgments there. The essence of it is I learned how to be responsible in the context of family and how to share the experience of family, friend, community.
Right.
You always had time for people. I really had time for people because I was always into my studies and such, so I really had time for people. And since he's passed on, I've recognized that. We used to go on the road because we weren't driving to go to shows, and he would stop. And I would be so angry because he stopped 5 times, 10 times, 15 times, 20 times before we reached the venue. And everybody wants to talk 15 minutes and 20 minutes. So I would get so angry and said to him, it's going to take us 2 hours to walk to where we're going. And it should just take 25 minutes or 20 minutes. But you see, when he's passed on, gone, you see all those impressions that he's left along the way. When I pass along them, when I pass those people, I hear people saying, Sage, blessings. I don't know. And then for a moment, I remember, you're one of the master's friends. By extension, you're one of my friends. I just didn't know it at the time. So he's taught me many things. So I'm sure in this context that Joseph's family are not just going to carry forward his genes, but in essence, he's made an impression, you know, in their daily realities and those close around him. So I'm sure that it's endless, the possibilities of how we can let that soul live on in us as our lives, right? I mean, we don't have to be pompous, or puffed up and say, you know, because we want to sound right, that, you know, this and that. But we know the genuine impressions. You know, like I said with my friend, they weren't all good experiences that made up that reality. But when one has passed on, they're all beautiful. They're all treasured, and they're all valuable, you know, and valid to the point of, yeah, letting that person, a piece of that person, you know, grow in you, continue in life, in terms of his music, you know, his thoughts and his good deeds, that if we can pick up and catch on, and likewise make our own paths in good deeds and joy, and we can take this thing from the essence of maybe grief to the true essence of to celebrate life, you know, because that's what we live. The celebration, the life.
Beautiful. Now, I know, I mean, Joseph talked about this a lot as well with me, that when he was in Jamaica, and wherever he would travel, for that matter, he never got to the Middle East. I know he traveled all over America with his band, that he was a seeker of the Creator, and he talked about, with fond remembrances, about how he would interact with individuals, just casual conversations, whether it be over here in the Americas or in Jamaica. And I know, I mean, it awoken up with me in that spark, seeing all these videos when I was in my pre-embracement of my own cultural roots as a Jew, that in Jamaica, there's a lot of talk about the Most High. And do you recall any conversations? I mean, obviously he liked you. He saw your talent. He had that insight. But do you remember vibing out on him on creation and the Creator and brotherhood? Do you have any particular memories, John Sage, with Joseph on these matters?
Well, in context, I can't necessarily go back to specific conversations, but I can vaguely remember intonations in moments that, like, they had emotional impacts on me. So I couldn't go back to the verbatim because at the time there were so much people around. So one of the things I could remember, that he was always a calm soul. And I'm a very observant man. Part of my psyche is like that. So when I assess a person, it is more based upon not just the contact they've had with me, but in the context in which I've seen them, right? And usually, for me, I was observant. Back in those days, I wasn't so as verbose as I am now. So my power of observation was increased. So what I learned about Joseph from listening to him and watching his mannerisms is that he was always like a glue. He was trying to be someone in the middle that could hold things together. You understand? That understood that people had differing views, didn't necessarily differ in the core values and principles. It takes an ingenious individual or a unique individual to see that in our cultures, right? And I thought that he always had a conversation where it was inclusive, very inclusive, you know, and to the point where even at this recording, a lot of, you know, the artists did not necessarily want me to record, you know. Joseph was constant in reaffirming me because I did not even know that I was going to record, because my own fellow, you know, Jamaicans were making me feel as if I was not of any importance. I was probably just there to hold the pot that carried the soup. Which humility is good, you know. It's not a pompous speech, but I'm saying that I was left out. And by observing that Joseph constantly made a way clear that I could be included. So this is where my assessment came from.
True. You know? Well, you know, as we say, the prophet is never truly appreciated in his hometown, or the visionary, or the artist. Sometimes you have to kind of... So he is coming from, so to speak, an outsider coming from the Americas. And, you know, I know it's always a thing when a native culture, for instance, when I was recently in Israel, everyone talks about, oh, this came from Europe, this came from America, this came from there. But, you know, I say to myself, as me, because my ultimate goal is to go back to the Holy Land, to live there permanently, say, wait a minute, there's nothing lacking here. Why are you looking to the outside? So, you know, I understand where you could have been treated that way, and someone from the outside, wait a minute, I see the talent drum stage. Okay, you see that, so let's work with it. You know, there's a popular saying in America, I guess in English, familiarity breeds contempt. I mean, people know so much about a thing, they think they know everything about it. But the truth is, and I say first and foremost in a marital relationship, and I heard this wonderful advice many years ago, the moment the spouse thinks he knows her and he knows everything about her, or she knows everything about him, the relationship is starting to take a downward trend. Meaning human beings are so unique and so blessed, or even just friendships. If we put paradigms and we put limitations on each other, then the relationship is already starting to go in the wrong direction. And every relationship, when it, in terms of human being, sustainable relationships, every relationship is supposed to go as in the language of Rastafari and Fayaka, going forward and not looking back.
Yes.
Yes. And that's the way Joseph was.
Always.
He looked, you know, and this is a very important point, Drum Sage. You know, it was not by coincidence he discovered you, because through his discovering your talents, you and I are now, in his merit, having this conversation
yep.
about this man whose good name
Truly.
Was greater than any, you know, his good deeds were even greater than his wisdom. And, and again, as I mentioned, I don't want to emphasize, he was a very wise young man. But his wisdom
yes.
was only exceeded by his ability to do good deeds. And there, I'd like to segue to this next discussion about him as a family man. We had many discussions, Rum Sage and Blessed Souls, Joseph Israel and I, of blessed memory, about family. And one of the things that I very much stressed for him, because this is how I was taught, I've been taught by my mentors, whether my primary one, Lubavitch Rebbe, or other rabbis, or people who are not even rabbis, just good people, whoever they may be from the world, is that family comes first. Meaning, I'm not out to come out as a prophet or the righteous man if I'm undermining the cohesiveness, the development of my relationship with my wife and my children, and hopefully in the future my grandchildren and my parents and my in-laws and whatever it may be. That, and by the way, if I can do these things, like these little humble efforts on Blog Talk Radio with Soul Class and vibing out with Drum Sage or anyone else who I don't know. And this is something that Joseph Israel took very seriously, Drum Sage, and to those listening there. For him,
yes.
as Bob sang, you know, wisdom is better than silver and gold. And the ultimate wisdom is to be a family man or a family woman. You know, whether one marries
yes,
or not, that's in the province of the Most High. But to raise communities, to understand your little microcosmic universe is your universe, and maybe we don't understand the entire macrocosmic, I'm getting a little emotional here, but if we can try to improve our microcosmic world, it sets off a positive energy into the world, not by us lecturing how to make it a better world, but exemplifying it, that other people will not only get a taste of the good old, but the aroma that the family man or the family woman gives off is the best way on a communal, interpersonal level to promote a healthy society. Drum Sage, your take on these matters.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, family first is not just a principle, but, you know, it's an ancient paradigm. Society
That's
is
right.
the organizations and the groupings of family, you know, and the sequential groupings of unique and large numbers of families to create ideologies, you know, culture, you know, in terms of even the priesthood, you know. It's not the tribe. It's not a family of priestly, you know, individuals groomed into a certain understanding of themselves. And you know, the Levites know, you know, a certain tradition and, you know, religious and priestly matters. Family is a foundation for all these in terms of industry and the major professions in society, right? Family is the foundation stone that holds everything together. I always say in my presentation that, you know, God is the very essence. His providence is in families. If you want to look for God anywhere on earth, look for God in families. Families mm-hmm. are the manifestation of godly nature. So if one can have that family first idea, which means that one puts the family of humanity, the family of humankind in one perception, knowing that what one does to another, one does to oneself, then we'll begin to understand it's not just a philosophy, but in how we are, person to person. Because some people think you have to be reaching out outside to the very reaches of the material universe to find, you know, another to do good to feel that you are doing good to all. But really and truly, it starts just where you are, with the people around you and the experiences you're having with those that you're actually in contact with. That's where you get a chance to show the providence of the family. And how it is that understanding of building a firm family that takes both the energy and the spirit and the essence of the male and the female together to configure a family environment. It will extend to the grandparents, you know, and the relations, the family unit, and the fact that Joseph espoused that is an understanding that is steeped in all ancient cultures. Because we know modern cultures might be moving away from it, but this is an aspect of an individual that can always live on. Like I said, my friend taught me the value of understanding, you know, the dynamics between, you know, man, woman, and this child and their children, right?
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of if you're in the same living circumstances that woman or not, right? So because there are many configurations, but life still has a genuine responsibility. But that responsibility might be protected in law, but it is yet ineffectual because it should be in psyche. And my friend had it in psyche. I never had it in psyche because he started as a father when he was 15 years old. My father started as a father when he was 14 years old.
Wow.
So, you know, so there's a thing about us as humans that an individual's life, you know, and the experiences when they begin to share it musically and creatively, they're not just doing it all the time to aggrandize themselves and promote their own egos or their own, you know, good nature. But there's something about us as humans in them. So if we lose that, just that shell of our own selves for a moment and go into the kernel of who we all are, then you can identify and see that Joseph, like so much of us, really are trying to find that rhythm, the concordance between humans, right? And if you can truly offer something that can be good enough to help another to find some amount of drive, continuity, or a way of looking at themselves a little better, that is always worth retaining. That is not something that should be kept in a museum. That's not something that should be amusing or bemusing. That is something that should be truly, you know, lived, you know, respected and honored, because that is something that is valuable and valid. And this is where I said, now, the soul, where it relates back to an individual now. If you live from your soul, when life has passed and transitioned in the form, the soulful energy remains amongst all. Even though it's like they say, you know, on an infrared camera, maybe you can see little smudges of, you know, let's say there was a weird thing done. Someone came in with some high chemicals on their hands, you know. They did something crazy. And, and if everywhere they touched, you know, the chemical would show up, but it wouldn't show up to the naked eye, and it wouldn't show up to certain lights. But here you go, infrared, and there you see a complete handprint. It proves that, you know, a person had been here. That is like the essence of the soul. It's a print that is left. It is so subtle. I don't think it will be picked up just by your mind all the time, or just by your taste buds, or it will be picked up by your attitudes, or sometimes, you know, by your good feelings. It's picked up a lot by the subtle undertones, you know. When you breathe a little, then you release. Then you catch a glimpse of that. And remember that impression is still here. And that impression that is still here is a part of the soul that cannot be destroyed. It cannot be created. It cannot be uncreated, because it just is. You keep it with you, and you can transfer it onto your children, and also even onto your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, for posterity. These things become respect of family traditions, of family trees. And so there are more things we can do with these realms of human life and the experience of the family, i.e. grieve a lot. Because, you know, the word says you don't mourn about it. The word says you should celebrate. Celebrate the life. Because that is what we are here to do, to celebrate. Celebrate the fact that we traveled all the way throughout all those, you know, miles upon miles of, you know, journey through the semen, all the way into the egg, all the way into impregnation, into life. We brought a soul's message, a drive, a complete desire to be. You know, we carry something because we outrun, you know, thousands, some say maybe even millions, you know, even hundreds of millions of fellow souls who had the perspective, you know, to the little swimmer, to make it all the way into this world, coming through the primordial oceans of our desires and longings of divine creator. Mm-hmm. We have that beautiful gift, so we can choose to hold on, because it's not something that's going to disintegrate in our hands. It's not something that's going to disappear. It's actually, it will be there.
Beautiful.
Alive.
Drove Sage, we have someone calling in. Hopefully this is someone who is either from Joseph Israel's family or from the band. Let's see who it is, and hopefully he or she can join us in our roundtable discussion. Hold on, please.
Bless
good
you.
Morning, good afternoon, caller. Can you please identify yourself and where you're calling from?
I'm Carl Blackman. I'm calling from Wilmington, North Carolina.
Carl Blackman, shalom, brother. I'd like you to introduce
yourself.
I don't know if you've met. Do you, Carl, I have Jerome Sage Butler live from Kingston, Jamaica. Do you know each other?
Who? No, I can't say okay. I know Carl, but you know, maybe in terms of if he was around Joseph, maybe I would have seen him if he was around Joseph when he was in Jamaica. Okay. But not
Jerome,
personally. But then you know, for soul, so soul.
Carl Blackman was the keyboard player who played with Joseph for many years. Carl, thank you. Most I bless you. And you know, this is so surreal to have this conversation about a living soul who to me was the epitome of a human being. I say if there were 7 billion Joseph Israels and his type, unique way of embracing life, would have plowed the ground for the revelation of universal redemption. Can you reflect with us when you first met Joseph and your working relationship as a musician, and what do you take from this living spirit? Because I don't believe a soul passes on, Carl. It's my own personal perspective from the Bible, Torah perspective. What do you take from Joseph's spirit that's going to strengthen yourself into the future and for those who are listening to us all around the world right now?
Wow. Well, Joseph Israel, I met him when I was probably like 18 years old, and I'm 39 now, so I've known him for quite a while. And I met this brother at a time in my life when I was seeking spirituality and trying to understand life, and he was on the same journey. And he had such an insightful brain, but when we were young like that, he already was listening to like the lyrics of songs, reading the Bible, like breaking these words down, and like, you know, through like, I don't know, just that concept of like, when I listened to music before, I never really listened to the lyrics as much as like after him, you know, because me being a musician, I was always attracted to music, and that just brought music to a whole nother level to me, even when I was young like that, you know. I mean, that was the type of person Joseph was. He was very insightful, you know, like ahead of his years when we were young. He was a role model to me, you know, to kind of inspired me to really be the best me, you know, try to through the, you know, the inspiration of like the scriptures and the understanding, through, you know, just different, I guess, spiritual paths that people have taken and stuff that he had looked into. He realized, that from early on, that part of like what being, you know, this human journey is trying to achieve your potential, you know, and that's what the Most High wanted for us.
Yes.
And he was a great example of that, you know, all the way to the end, you know. So
when was the last time you spoke to Joseph?
Oh, probably like, well, he called me when he got sick, you know.
Right.
I make music. I'm a music producer, and me and Joseph had made an album when I was younger, and before we really knew so much about how to make music. And a lot of those songs were great ideas that now, as I understand music more, I've reapproached those songs. And one of them, I had remade, and he was going to sing on, and we had been talking about that. We had been talking and just, you know, I mean, I'd talk to him every couple months anyway, but then when he got sick, he called me and told me, you know, because I went through a bout with cancer myself about 4 years ago and got through it, you know, and he had called me about advice on it a little bit or whatever, you know. And at the time, I was thinking, man, this guy's so healthy. If anything, they found a little spot, you know. I had no idea that it was going to be all over his body like that. And it was wild. Right. So it all just escalated really fast after that. And I actually never talked to him again after that last. I tried to call several times, but he was in the hospital. It was, you know. And so that was the last time I talked to him, was probably in the end of January.
Yeah, I was not. The day that he passed on, actually, I was in Jerusalem by the Western Wall, uttering prayers, and people had contacted me to offer prayers from around the world, and I actually offered a little prayer up on behalf of Joseph that he shared here, because I really thought that he was going to beat it because of his mindset was so positive, same time, too, he could accept the greater picture that there's certain things that we're not in control of. And then when I came back, that was on, I believe, March 2nd was the day that he passed on. And then when I came back from Israel on a Thursday night, that would have been, I believe, March 14th, or March 15th, Chrissy, his wife of Valor, called me to tell me the tragic news. And I was dumbfounded because I at that time I was in the middle of my work and I was leading what was known as a community meeting. I counsel people with severe mental illness and what, again, the thing that I am struggling with is when I see these videos of Joseph that I'm not able to connect that reality which is on the video to the fact that, you know, that he is temporarily on the physical plane been separated to us, and that's why I want to do the show today, Carl, to remind everyone that he is with us if we can, you know, if we can bring something that we saw as a positive attribute with him and integrate it into our lives. I'd like to give an example, and then I'll go around the table to Jerome Sage and to you, Carl, that as a family man, I recall he mentioned to me that his oldest son, or his only son actually, Cyprus Yaakov, wonderful young man, had trouble in his development with reading. So Joseph, who was also very athletically inclined, came up with the idea, which is beautiful, which is something someone with a master's degree in either as an OT, occupational therapist, or a social will come up with. He gave him two basketballs and told him to start dribbling the basketball simultaneously. And he told me after a certain amount of time, Cyprus Yaakov was able to catch up and with his reading. Now, the reason why I'm telling this story is that because the sincerity that would Joseph shared that with me with something that I would share and integrate within my own parental skills, because my own son, Yosef Yitzhak, has dyslexia. And what happened was when we were in Israel 7.5 years ago, he was exposed to playing soccer. So I see that he loved it, and I figured, well, the eye and hand coordination, you kick with the right leg, you kick with the left leg, you can use your head to bump the ball. And it helped him with his reading. And then in the last 6 months, we started to play ping pong, and now he's taking taekwondo lessons. And again, we see a demonstrable improvement in his reading based on him using all these different types of eye-hand coordination. And this is because of the experience that I had in dialoguing with Joseph. His wisdom is helping my son read better.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So, Drum Sage, I'd like to go to you then to Carl about maybe some other thing, you know, what your feelings on this, Drum Sage, and then Carl, maybe something else that you can share from Joseph's wisdom that he encouraged other people to put into action, had a good outcome for them. And because Joseph was a family member, just didn't think about his wife and three kids, he considered all people as part of his extended family, I believe, and I say that without an exaggeration.
True.
Well, thank you very much. I just love that idea of, you know, and eye coordination kind of stimulating other portions of the brain, you know, to the motor reflex and the motor reflex complexes. That's so good. And the fact that you picked up on that and also, you know, you transferred it to your own child's experience. I mean, that's what I mean, you know what I mean? That's good. That's something that is soulful that can be transferred, you know, something that's generated in someone's experience, gleaned from something they saw, something they thought of, you know. And here it is. It can live on for all of us.
Yeah, that's true, you know. Joseph, yeah, he was full of that kind of stuff. I carry so much of him with me. I was thinking about it the other day, you know, because, you know, his vibration was so high that at the time, I mean, he freed me, you know, he made me feel free at the time when I was younger, you know, and I came from like my people, the family I grew up with was really cool, but that Joseph had such a free thing. It was a different perspective when I met him that it was like different from the way my family thought everything. He was like deep in spirituality, you know, he felt it and lived it, you know, and that's what I kind of carry with me every day. It's one thing to think it, but to live it, you know. And he lived that life, and I try to do that on my everyday basis. I mean, I play music in this area, and there's a lot of people, especially in the reggae music thing or any kind of spiritual thing you get into, where people are just fake to it. They're not really doing the thing. And if I can say one thing that Joseph inspired me more than anything was to be real like that, you know, and be a true, genuine person. What accomplish something in this life, you know, and have something to say. And like Bob Marley said, wake up and live, you know. And that Joseph lived by that, man.
Well, I can tell you this: a good friend of mine, Ross Mikey Nichols, who was the former rhythm guitarist and eventually producer, and he's still producing. Ross Mikey Nichols, who is based in Paterson, New Jersey, and works in Jamaica with a young man by the name of David Luther King. Please, you know, maybe I don't know if you've heard of him drum stage, but he's someone else to be looking to listen
man,
to in the future.
Yeah, we linked up online. Yeah.
Okay. So his mentor is Ross Mikey Nichols, and Ross Mikey Nichols once told me that there are many people carrying the message of reggae music, but they're not necessarily the messengers. You know, so there's
right.
And that's really in every endeavor. It's not just in music. There are doctors who carry the name doctor, but they're butchers in practice. You know, I mean, unfortunately, I hate to say that, but there are lawyers who are butchers, and people in social services who mamish are wolves in sheep clothing. You know, I mean, it's part of the test of human living.
Yeah, it really is. You know, and the music's attractive to people. You know, it's freedom. It's all these things, but there's responsibility when it comes to freedom, and it's the balance to anything, you know. And it's like this music has freed so many people, but now it seems like, you know, people have even hijacked this music and used it for just a message to sing about their girls or all their pleasure or whatever they want, you know. And it's like if Joseph stuck to that, to the fact that this message was made to uplift people, you know, and this music was made to uplift people, and that's refreshing, you know, in this, today's world that there's people like that, you know, and a lot of people in Jamaica came with that true message from Luciano to, you know,
yes.
All them, you know, I mean, and all those people inspired Joseph, you know, because way back Joseph was able to meet them and realize that he had a similar spirit to those people. And the only thing that was different from him and those people was action, you know, and he started making the same actions those people did, you know. And they're like, and, you know, even someone like Marcus Garvey, one guy inspired so many people in the world. And it's amazing to think, you know. And, you know, it's just action, you know. And that's a powerful, powerful, powerful thing.
This is testimony to the power of human spirit. When a person accesses and internalizes divine image, I'd like to share with you, gentlemen. I'll go to Jerome Sage. I'll go to you, Carl, as well. In chapter 47, King, and you know, King David also was a musician. You know, we know he composed many a song. In chapter 47, verses 6 and 7 and 8, he says, "God ascended with the blast, Hashem, Creator, with the sound of the shofar, which is a ram's horn. Make music for Creator. Make music for our King. Make music. Where Creator is King of all the earth. Make music, O enlightened one." So here we're told many times, announce the Creator, proclaim him, make music for Creator. And if you make music and it's for the to proclaim that Creator is King of all the earth, you are in the category of the enlightened one. And Joseph Israel is in that category.
Wow.
John said, you are. Carl, you are. So I'd like, Drum Sage, please comment. King David, this was for a prophetic teaching. This was not to get a record contract. This was a prophetic teaching that we can experience now in our days, and we should not be intimidated by the corruption of the music industry.
Very
well,
true.
Yeah, definitely. In closing, I just want to say, you know, I mean, I said it before, you know, Joseph put a way for me to see myself beyond the context of, you know, how the confinements in my culture were showing me at the time, you know, so that was a testament that goes with me. And for me, whenever the opportunity is there for me to do the same for another, I won't hesitate for others as well, because I know the value thereof, not in theorems, but in practice, because I've benefited from it. And so I'm just thankful, and I'm happy just to hear, you know, of his good works in terms of someone who knows him, Carl, you know. So blessings to you. And, you know, take strength from what he has, you know, shown you. And that's like I said about my friend, I don't know if you were listening, both the good and the bad experiences become of great value, you know. So there's no judgment, it's just love. So blessings, Brother Dan, Brother Carl, it's, you know, good and for the life of Joseph Israel and for his family, his children, strength and life.
Amen.
Yes.
So, Jerome,
Thank you, brother.
Jerome, I'm getting the impression that you have to take leave of us. If that's so, we can go on for a little bit more. I don't know if you're available, Carl. We can go on a little bit longer. If you have
to
go, Jerome.
I have to leave, too. I didn't have much time, but I just wanted to say before I leave that everybody, you know, I mean, is this a live thing? People are listening right now?
Yes, this is a live
broadcast, well,
and it will be archived.
I just want to say Joseph Israel stood up for truth and rights, and he believed that the prophets were going to return in this time to help lead the people into the kingdom, and through knowledge and understanding. And he and his life was a testament to trying to bring about that knowledge and understanding of the kingdom, and that brother inspired me more than any other person in this world, I think. And I give thanks, you know, for all this tribute to him and all that, because this is someone that really deserves that type of mention, you know. This isn't a normal person that came up. This was a mighty person, and now I feel like his spirit's across the universe, you know, and inspires
Amen.
Me daily. So,
Amen.
Know.
So, Carl, I want to profusely thank you for taking some of your most valuable, assets, which is basically your blessed time and say in time, space, and soul. So, if you have to leave, I thank you very much. And
yes,
and,
sir.
Please, if you're in touch with Marlon Cat Davis, Ruben McKenzie, they were going to try to come on today. I guess they had some technical matters they had to attend to. I just want to mention everyone that this afternoon, mm-hmm. actually, because at 6 o'clock it's still light time now in the USA, at George's Majestic Lounge, located at West Dixon, 519 West Dixon Street in Fayetteville, Arkansas. There's going to be a tribute to Joseph Israel featuring the Jerusalem Band, which Carl was a formerly member of, with backup singer
nice.
Rochelle Bradshaw, Michael Walker, Jeff Kearney, the Irie Lions, Butterfly, Darren Crisp, and other friends. And it will be a minimum donation will be for $10. And before we end today's program, I'm going to give a link to everyone that I'm asking anyone who's listening to the program or will listen to the program to try to give $10 towards the family. It's not an easy time economically without the main breadwinner being at the
yes.
home right now.
Yes.
I'm not going to inquire into their financial situation, but if they're asking for the appeal, it means they need it. Jerome Sage, before we sign off, would you like to have any I'm sure you have something else to say. And again, thank you, Carl, for coming on today. Anything else you'd
yes,
like
sir.
To mention, Jerome Sage, before
we
go further?
Yeah, man. Thank you very, very much, Brother Dan. Yes, and just give thanks to Brother Carl as well, you know. Again,
yeah,
for the experience
you,
of, you know, that. Maybe we should keep up a link, you know what I mean? Because music
yeah.
is eternal. You seem to a person of the soul, you know, so you can, you know, talk to Brother Dan and, you know, he can send on the link, you know. So we should keep in touch for the memory of Joseph. One of the things I want to say is that, you know, many people come from outside our culture, Brother Dan. The Spirit wanted me to say this before, so I can't go without saying it. Many people
right.
come from outside of our culture, right? And they come and they're called what we call rapers. They take. So don't
right,
assume
right.
that everyone that comes from outside just sees and then understands and wants to help. Joseph was unique in that he is one of those that helped, that imbued himself into the process of helping. It's not for self-aggrandizing to praise someone, but it's to praise the good deeds of that person, which leaves the good name, which is the good
yes.
memory. And these things are essential, because when we ourselves do not live this way, the sweet, fervent flavor will not fill the nostrils of those who we care about, or those who care about us. We'd leave them grieving. So we should live a life that gives them soul, purpose, and energy that beyond our present, and our present,
Amen.
The presence still has value. And that's the soul. So give thanks to Joseph for sparking that in Brother Carl, in you, Brother Dan, and this connection
yeah.
to Iman, Jerome, Sage, and we just give thanks to all the people listening, you know, Nafatari, give thanks, Princess, for listening. And for all the people in Jamaica, Cindy and Kyle, you know, just thanks for listening and thanks for keeping that vibe and the connection. Family first, respect Brother Joseph, you know what I mean? We do give thanks. May your memories live on through your family,
Amen.
Your children, and those who have been touched by your light.
Amen. Beautiful.
True,
thank
brother.
You, Drum Stage.
Wow.
Thank you, Drum Stage. And I will be sending you. I'll send you a link. So hopefully you and Carl will continue the catch a fire in the merits,
yes,
of
definitely.
Joseph Israel.
Blessings, listen, straight up, yeah, man.
Definitely keep the fire blazing, man. Because the thing is, you know, I deal with the same spirit that Joseph deal with, because I was inspired by him and also grew with him at the same time, you know. And
yeah.
That's why I'm trying to hold true with the music and with the vibe over here, you know. So yeah, we definitely keep the link, you know.
Okay, I'm
yes,
thank
man.
You,
respectful man.
Yeah.
Give thanks, brother. We link forward again. Have a great one.
All right. Amen. Talk soon,
amen.
Brothers.
Amen. Blessed souls, that we had the extreme pleasure of having Sila, media communications expert, Jerome Sage, live from Jamaica, Kingston, Jamaica, the Diamond, the Caribbean. We also had former keyboard player Carl Blockman, who is a record music producer down, I believe it's North Carolina, if it's South Carolina, I forgot. I know it's in one of the Carolinas. I'd like to end off today's program by making an appeal for anyone who's listening to live, or for someone who will hear this archive version, that this is a fundraiser. Originally, there was a Joseph Israel Family Fund, because when he was diagnosed, I gather he had stage 4 cancer, and it spread through his body, and he was going under testing and treatments, including chemical therapy. But this was, I think, around late November or maybe early December, but by March 2nd, unfortunately, he passed on. So now an appeal is being made on behalf of the family, basically led by Chrissy or Christina Fennel. Joseph's stage name was Joseph Israel, but his family name was Fennel. And I just want to mention, Fennel is a type of vegetation which is involved in the purification of the body of impurities. And that's what Joseph's passions were, for trying to remove impurities first from within himself and exemplifying to others that it is worthy of the human endeavor to purify oneself of things that are impure. And now I'm asking for anyone who's listening again or hearing the archive version, there is a GoFundMe site, and I just want to be very emphatic that I am not getting any percentage, because this is the least I can do. I've already contributed, and my wife is still shuddering from the passing of Joseph Israel, because Joseph and Christy ate once, had a Sabbath meal on a Friday night. It was a wonderful experience. We were talking so much that the food wasn't even going down, because we were so enthralled. Two couples meeting each other for the first time, just have this divine providence of being connected to Facebook. And therefore, I'm going to ask everyone to please give a minimum of $10. You basically go to www.gofundme.com/Joseph. That's Joseph hyphen Israel, Israel. That's www.gofundme.com/Joseph. And then the parallel bar, I'm forgetting what it's called again, Israel, and we're going to segue out of today's program with actually a brief interview with Joseph of blessed memory, and a song called His Water, which I hope I'm not going to be sound like I'm getting involved in self-aggrandizement, but Joseph told me that after him and his wife, Christy, came to eat by my wife and I's house, my wife's name is Sima Simcha, the joyful treasure in my life, that the Most High is blessed with me, that Joseph went back to the hotel and composed the song, His Water. So we're going to hear a little bit of an interview with Joseph Israel, and he's also going to be talking about his sister, Sarah Fennel Buchanan's wonderful organization, Restore Humanity. I hope in a future program I will be able to interview Sarah Fennel Buchanan.
Beautiful.
Because I know the connection between her and her brother, her older brother, was truly amazing, and she also ate by our Shabbos table, and they were going to do a show in 2008 in New York City, but that got canceled. But still, I met Joseph again, and I met his sister, and I met the bass player Rupert McKenzie, and I also met Marlon Cat Davis, and they met some of my friends, and it was a holy gathering. So anyway, this is a live radio interview from about 7.5 years ago with Joseph Israel, concluding with His Water. And we're going to conclude, bless souls, the last word for me will be, may we all continue to congregate in the spirit of righteous souls like Joseph, Israel, in a way of a havachad, one love, golachad, one destiny, calling for all of us, b'darchi noam, darchi shalom, in a pleasant, peaceful way. And I have to remind you, because it's my personal obligation to remind you, have a divine image, blessed souls, wherever you are in the world. If you're hearing this live, you'll hear it in the archive version, because ateva tov leheiti, which is the nature of the good, to do good, the Creator is the source of our goodness. And here's some goodness manifested through the all-too-brief life of Joseph Israel. We cannot question the Almighty's wisdom, but let's keep Joseph's spirits alive. Let's help support his family, and let's make this world a proper abode for the revelation of Shekhinah, divine presence, in a peaceful, pleasant manner upon this wonderful planet called planet Earth. Take care, everyone.
It's very soon.
Right on.
But Gone Are the Days, we're still playing a lot of the material out there, and, you know, it's still, I love the album.
Yeah, it's a sweet album. I've listened to it all. I really love it. And tell us how that all came about. How did you get Gone Are the Days, and...
Well, you know, first of all, things come from the Most High, you know. The Almighty put this together, you know, and I have to give him the credit. And so amazing things happened. I got invited to go to Jamaica to record and linked with some people I've always looked up to, Earl Chinna Smith, Chris Meredith, Squizzy Cole, Erica Newell, Rochelle. And, you know, we created an album together. It was beautiful,
right.
You know, and I just have my songs on my guitar like you see me now, and it just... It blossomed.
Yeah, so you got into a little bit of the Rastafarian culture down there. Did that help a lot with the direction your path took?
Well, yeah, you know, I mean, just going to Jamaica, the whole culture, just the simple fact that you see people actually giving things for life.
Right.
The simplest thing, you know, that's what really stuck out to me, is the joy over the simple things, which I feel like here in America, it was always like, oh, I need this new thing.
Yeah.
But down there I learned and watched how people just rejoice for having, you know, maybe a mango or, you
yeah,
know what I mean, or just to talk to their friend, just
right.
to have a conversation in your front yard.
Exactly.
All working, you know, so.
Yeah. Hey, you and the Druzel Band have been pretty much involved with a nonprofit organization lately. It's called Restore Humanity.
That's right.
What exactly is that? Tell us about that.
Well, Restore Humanity is a company that my sister started
right.
and, a few years ago, and
mm-hmm.
she went to South Africa and did some benefit work there, brought in some school supplies and had a great success there and is still helping out down there, but then felt the call to go to this certain village in Kenya, and she's actually there right now opening the orphanage, and it's going to house like 50 people. It's going to be hopefully eventually self-sustainable, all organic food, you know, education center for all the children around there, because there's all these children that are AIDS orphans and their parents like from like 20 to... RestoreHumanity.org, if anyone wants to check it out. It's a beautiful thing, and it's a real thing. It's not one of those charities you don't know where the money goes. You
yeah.
know, it's a real one.
Right on. So you going to sing for us a little bit?
Yeah, I have also a new song that we're going to be working on here, you know, called His Water.
Okay, excellent.
Yeah. Together, together again. It is one.
one blood, yes, it is one love. Got to forgive, we got to forgive. We're gonna live, that's right, we're gonna live. When we drink of his waters, we will never thirst. We will never thirst. Now, if we all love each other, there will be no wars. There will be no wars. Almighty One of a creation, give us strength to overcome the wicked lies and oppression. We're living in this system. We stand for your kingdom land. Promise to Abraham to be a blessing of every tongue, tribe, and nation. We got to forgive. We got to forgive. We're gonna live. Yes, we're gonna live. Got to forgive. We got to forgive. Hey, we're gonna live now. We're gonna live. When we drink of his waters, we will never thirst. We will never thirst. Yes, now, now. When we all love each other, there will be no wars. There could never be a war. There should never be a war. Let love cover the earth, now it's almighty. Yay. When we drink of his water.
Bravo. Awesome. Excellent, man. Yes, thanks yes. very much. That was awesome. Hey, I understand you like snowboarding.
Yes, you know.
Skateboard.
Well, my son is more into the skate. I'm afraid of it falling on the concrete.
That's, believe me, that happens.